Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired 2023 Annual Report, read by Council Volunteer Barbara Simon. Empowerment, Independence, Dignity. Photo, three separate frames, each containing a plant from the sensory garden. Mission, to promote the dignity and empowerment of the people of Wisconsin who live with vision loss through advocacy, education, and vision services. Values. Inclusivity. We actively seek and welcome diverse people, experiences, and perspectives. Uncompromising respect. We uphold the dignity and worth of all individuals and groups in how we treat each other, even in times of disagreement or conflict. Integrity. We say what we do and do what we say, both within and outside of the organization, by applying the highest standards of ethics, honesty, and trustworthiness. 2024 Board of Directors. Photo. Members of the Board of Directors standing behind a railing in the council office. Executive Director, Denise Jess, Madison. Chair, Nick Sinram, Milwaukee. Vice Chair, Melody Ramey, Madison. Secretary, Brent Goodman, Rhinelander. Treasurer, Renee Peterson, Horicon. Rebecca Arrowwood, Greenville. Maggie Groshen, Stoughton. Chamomile Harrison, Watertown. Chip Kaufman, Middleton. Sharon Knopf, Madison. Patty Slaby, Arcadia. Rhonda Stotts, La Crosse. Nat Tarnoff, Sun Prairie. Terry Young, Madison. Garden images. On the cover and throughout this report are photos of the plants of the Council's sensory garden. To learn their names and much more, visit wcblind.org/garden. Message from the Executive Director and the Board Chair. Photo, Denise Jess and Nick Sinram. 2023 was a busy and robust year for the Council. Our vision services professionals provided client-centered instruction online, in people's homes, in the community, and at our offices, fostering independence, enhancing quality of life, and promoting the dignity of people with vision loss. Our education events encouraged engagement and brought new people to the council, and our advocacy work helped move bills through the state legislature. Read on in this annual report to learn more. 2023 also brought us the Big Data Report through VisionServe Alliance, VSA, a national consortium of vision loss-serving organizations around the country. Using data from the U.S. Census Bureau, VSA partnered with The Ohio State University to do a state-by-state analysis of older adults with blindness and low vision. This report was followed in early 2024 by a similar one focusing on the working age population. We've long recognized the challenges presented by the lack of data about vision loss, knowing that better population information would strengthen our efforts to secure funding, shift public policy, and plan for the future as the incidence rate of vision loss continues to rise, with an estimated increase of 118% by 2050. The results indicated what we'd long been observing. The report starts with some baseline facts. An estimated 4.2% of older people in Wisconsin report severe vision impairment or blindness. Women, who comprise 59% of the older population, are more likely than men to experience vision impairment. African Americans report much higher prevalence of vision impairment than their white peers. Vision impairment among people 65 and older varies widely across Wisconsin counties, from 3% to 13%. The report goes on to focus on the impact of these facts, both on individuals and the public at large. Older people with vision impairment have lower levels of education and are poorer than older people without vision loss. 40% of older people with vision impairment have not graduated from high school, and 30% have annual incomes below $20,000. Older people with vision impairment report higher prevalence of chronic conditions, particularly stroke, arthritis, diabetes, kidney disease, and depression. Not surprisingly, 55% of older people with vision impairment in Wisconsin report fair to poor health, compared to 20% of older people without vision impairment. Economic well-being is a key social determinant of health. Here are some of the social and public impact findings in the report. 10% of older people with vision impairment report annual incomes between $10,000 and less than $15,000, compared to 4% of people without vision impairment. 17% of older people with vision impairment report an annual income of $15,000 to less than $20,000, compared to 6% of people without vision impairment. Lower socioeconomic status has also been shown to represent a substantial barrier to access to care for those with vision loss. To summarize, the Big Data report supports what we've long known anecdotally, that older adults who are blind or have low vision are at greater risk for living in poverty, have poorer health outcomes than their sighted peers, are disproportionately people of color, and are at increased risk for social isolation and loneliness. While these findings may be hard to process, they give us the critical tools that we need to facilitate the societal changes necessary for our older adults with vision loss to live safely, comfortably, and with dignity. We look forward to leveraging this vital information to strengthen and broaden our relationships across disciplines as we begin developing our next 3-year strategic plan. Signatures, Denise and Nick. Denise Jess, Executive Director. Nick Sinram, Chair. Vision Services, a surge in demand for O&M. In October of 2022, certified vision rehabilitation therapist Brent Prezentka completed hundreds of hours of training to receive his certification in orientation and mobility, O&M, instruction. While he began 2023 splitting his time equally between vision rehabilitation and O&M, the need for O&M services grew by leaps and bounds over the course of the year. By the end of 2023, Brent was spending nearly all of his time providing O&M services to clients across southern Wisconsin. Brent says, quote, "People really started to come out of the woodwork," end quote. O&M training provides the skills to get around independently and safely. That could include anything from white cane skills to getting to a concert across town to navigating one's own home smoothly. Brent says, quote, "Unfortunately, vision loss can lead to isolation and loss of independence for a lot of people. With orientation and mobility, you can learn how to navigate your community and take down so many of those barriers to employment and social activities," end quote. As a vision rehabilitation therapist, Brent says most of his clients were older adults, but with O&M, he works with clients across the age spectrum, including working and college-age adults, older retirees, and even children in the Sauk Prairie School District. People in need of O&M services come to Brent through a variety of avenues. Some people are referred to him through the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development's Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, DVR, to better equip them to find or keep a job. Others will simply walk in after hearing about the council. Brent says, quote, "Once people from the state knew that we had O&M services available, the word got out, and now I'm getting referrals every week." One thing Brent didn't expect when he started providing O&M was the proportion of people from underserved communities who would come to him for help. Quote, "I've served a lot of immigrants, people who don't speak any English, and even some unhoused people here in Madison," Brent says. "It's especially important to help those people in underserved communities because they may not be able to access services elsewhere," end quote. Sometimes Brent will go into a client's home for O&M training, only to find that there are more pressing issues to address first. If they've only recently begun to lose their vision, maybe they can't use their phone anymore, or are struggling to prepare their own food because they can't tell what's in the cabinet. Because Brent is also certified as a vision rehabilitation therapist, he can help address those needs before moving on to O&M. Brent says the sheer demand for O&M has taken him by surprise. Quote, I think a lot of the people I serve have always been there. They just didn't know these services were available." End quote. Unfortunately, one of the reasons Brent has been so busy is a severe shortage of certified O&M specialists in Wisconsin. Brent says, quote, "Some communities, like in western Wisconsin, don't have any O&M specialists. That means I can drive up to 90 minutes for an appointment because I'm the only O&M specialist in the area." End quote. Brent says one of the reasons there's a shortage of O&M professionals and vision services professionals in general is that many students entering college don't know the vision services field exists. When council staff goes out to give presentations to students and other members of the public, they encourage young people to consider a career in vision services. Amy Wirth, Education and Vision Services Director at the council, says, quote, "Brent's busy schedule in Dane County and the surrounding area is giving us an idea of what's lacking in other parts of the state. We want to look into how we can get the word out that people can get certified and how we can uplift those who are O&M certified so that they can begin to help people across Wisconsin." End quote. On both the personal and professional levels, Brent has greatly enjoyed the addition of O&M to his portfolio. He particularly likes getting out and exploring the community with his clients. O&M also gets him thinking about things he didn't have to consider before, like traffic engineering. Along the way, he's providing valuable instruction that's helping clients become more confident and independent as they navigate their homes, neighborhoods, and other environments. Photo: Certified O&M Specialist Brent Przentka showing a client how to fold a white cane. Quote, "Brent says the sheer demand for O&M has taken him by surprise." End quote. Low vision support groups bring clarity to people across the state. As people were forced into isolation at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, the council launched its first online low vision support group to help people with vision loss across the state stay connected. Since then, the program has grown significantly. A second group focusing on younger adults was added in 2022, and both groups continue to thrive today. The groups not only provide important information to people with vision loss, but also create a social space to meet with others going through similar experiences. The original gathering, now known as the Trailblazers Low Vision Support Group, was launched by the council's vision services team in 2020. Quote, "When COVID hit, we asked ourselves, how can we reach our people?" says certified vision rehabilitation therapist Brent Przentka. Quote, "I think we had about 10 people join that first meeting, and since then we've had about a dozen people every month." End quote. Brent says each meeting has a mix of loyal regulars, newcomers, and everything in between. While the mix of people joining the group has remained stable over time, with the Trailblazers group consisting mostly of older adults, one thing that has changed significantly is participants' ability to access new materials. When the group began, Brent was usually the only one to bring in information on the topic being discussed. Now, when he brings up a new topic, the participants will often find relevant information independently and even bring their own ideas into the conversation. As a result, the meetings have grown in length from 1 hour to an hour and a half, sometimes even stretching to 2 hours. Brent says, quote, "While the meetings start with an hour-long education talk, the last half hour is for people to start a dialogue and share their own experiences." End quote. Each meeting has a dedicated topic, which can be anything from gardening to access technology to local resources. They've even held a movie night where a group watched Going Blind, a documentary about a man's vision loss journey. While the Trailblazers support group was a fast success, some participants expressed their desire to have a group that was more focused toward younger adults. That's why the team added a college and working age low vision support group in the fall of 2022. Access technology specialist Jim Denham, who facilitates the group, says, quote, "The Trailblazers group was really popular. And one of my clients actually came to me and said, I feel like a lot of the topics are for people who are older. So we decided to try and start a group covering issues for people who are a little bit younger. End quote. The College and Working Age Low Vision Support Group focuses more on how to thrive in the classroom and in the workplace. They'll discuss topics like how to dress for an interview or how to use adaptive technology to give a presentation to a room of fully sighted coworkers or classmates. While the meetings will usually begin with Jim or Council Board member Maggie Groshen explaining a topic, the conversations always evolve from there. Recently, for example, the conversation even shifted toward beer companies that print Braille on their labels. Maggie says, quote, it's about being connected and realizing that they aren't the only ones going through these struggles, end quote. The College and Working Age Group has been meeting for less than 2 years, but they're already finding new ways to evolve to meet everyone's needs. One new idea was to create an email listserv, enabling members to discuss and send resources between meetings. After starting small, the group has grown to around a dozen attendees each month. Maggie says real friendships have begun to form within the group. Maggie says, quote, there's really a core bond beginning to form in the group, to the point where we're working on meeting up in person, and we all enjoy getting to know each other, end quote. Jim says, quote, when you're going to college, you might be the only person in your class with vision loss. I would have loved a group like this in college because it helps people figure out how to navigate a dining hall or find a job. Having people you can share with and learn from is really important. End quote. You can find information about the next meeting of both the Council's virtual low vision support groups at wcblind.org/events. There are also many in-person low vision support groups around the state. You can find contact information for those groups at wcblind.org/vision-services/support-groups. Advocacy. A year of bold advocacy yielded wins and a solid foundation for future progress. Advocacy has been a cornerstone of the Council's mission since its founding over 70 years ago, and 2023 was no different. The Council worked diligently over the entire year to advocate for bills that would positively impact the lives of people with vision loss and other disabilities across the state, and against bills that could have caused harm. Through our work with legislators, state agencies, and other policymakers, the Council and its allies scored a few wins and laid a strong foundation for future progress. One of the Council's biggest wins of the legislative session was passage of the 2023 Wisconsin Act 114, also known as Steve's Law, in tribute to Steve Johnson, an avid outdoors person and former member of the Council's Board of Directors. Under the former law, the Department of Natural Resources, DNR, online Go Wild system required a driver's license to prove Wisconsin residency. Those without a license were unable to register an account online to purchase things like fishing and hunting permits through the system because the DNR could not legally access state ID data as it could driver's license data. Steve's Law allows for the electronic transmission of state ID records, enabling people to use that document to access the Go Wild system as a Wisconsin resident. Steve's Law was signed into law by Governor Evers in March of 2024. While the bill is a step in the right direction, there's still more work to be done. Council Executive Director Denise Jess says, quote, I see the bill as a good victory, but it only fixes one tiny part of the problem. It lays the foundation for us to say that there is precedent here. Now let's rewrite the law so that there's no prohibition on digital ID transmission anywhere in the statutes. End quote. Denise says she is reaching out to the authors of Steve's Law to have them introduce a blanket bill allowing state IDs to be used as proof of residency in all situations. Another important bill signed into law was Senate Bill 668, Assembly Bill 617, now Wisconsin Act 267, which allows ABLE savings accounts, already available in most other states, to be set up in Wisconsin. ABLE accounts help people with disabilities ages 45 and under save money on health-related expenses. This change will particularly help low-income people. 30% of older adults with vision impairment in Wisconsin have annual incomes below $20,000. While the ABLE accounts are only available to those ages 45 and under, they will help people save money when spending on care providers, new equipment, and other things to help with their care or quality of life. Governor Tony Evers signed the bill into law in April of 2024. Other bills passed into law that will help people with disabilities are Senate Bill 398, now Wisconsin Act 142, which provides a tax credit to blind workers for transportation costs to and from work, and Senate Bill 728, now Wisconsin Act 189, which exempts service animals from the dog license tax. Some victories last session include bills that didn't become law. One such bill was Assembly Bill 572, which would have required staff at residential care facilities to notify residents' families when special voting deputies conducted in-person absentee voting in the facility. This change would have violated voters' privacy, so the council was pleased when Governor Evers vetoed it. Governor Evers said in his veto statement, quote, "Every eligible Wisconsinite should be able to cast their ballot without fear of interference or intimidation, including aging and older adults. I cannot support legislation that could enable voter intimidation and interference while depriving eligible aging and older Wisconsinites casting their ballot of the dignity, privacy, and independence afforded to every other eligible Wisconsin voter." End quote. While good progress was made in 2023, some helpful bills were left on the table. One of them was Assembly Bill 904, which would make all State of Wisconsin websites fully accessible. While some state websites, such as those of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the Department of Transportation, have made major strides toward accessibility, others, including the state legislatures, are still inaccessible. The bill's authors worked closely with the council to develop the language of the bill, which had a public hearing but was not voted out of committee. Every Wisconsin resident deserves full access to state government information, and websites that are not designed for access technology, like screen readers and captioning, or are designed with inadequate color contrast, create barriers for people with vision loss. Denise is reaching out to the bill's authors to bring that bill back next year. Denise says, quote, "The Department of Administration, DOA, is very supportive of it. We've worked with the DOA since 2020 on website accessibility. They have a high interest in it, and they've dedicated a lot of resources to it. This administration really favors it, but I wanted it in state law in case we have a change in administration. That's why bringing it back next session and getting it into state statute is so important." End quote. The council entered 2024 ready to meet again with policymakers to lay out our priorities as work begins on the 2025 through 27 biennial budget. Photo: Governor Tony Evers signing 2023 Wisconsin Act 114, also known as Steve's Law. Quote, "It lays the foundation for us to say there is precedent here. Now let's rewrite the law so that there is no prohibition on digital ID transmission anywhere in the statutes." End quote. Education. Students with vision loss head to class with council scholarships. The council knows the importance of pursuing a higher education in today's professional world, especially for students who are blind or visually impaired. That's why we've awarded thousands of dollars to hundreds of students over the years to help break down barriers in post-secondary education and employment. In 2023, the council awarded $2,000 scholarships to 10 students with vision loss across Wisconsin. That money not only helps them pay for standard costs like tuition, books, and housing, but also helps with additional expenses most other students do not incur. Many of them must buy adaptive devices and access technology. Since they don't drive, students with vision loss face transportation barriers that require them to use more expensive alternatives. Many recipients have told us the scholarship enabled them to spend fewer hours working in a part-time job and devote more time to their studies. Council Executive Director Denise Jess says, quote, "We were so honored to be able to present these scholarships to 10 students. Our scholarship recipients are diverse, living all over the state, ranging from those fresh out of high school to students enrolled in graduate programs. They each demonstrate incredible excitement about their field of study." End quote. Jack Lukosik, who began his studies in the Culinary Arts and Hospitality Management program at Fox Valley Technical College last year, is an example. Quote, "I'm excited to meet the chefs and get hands-on knowledge of different styles of different restaurants," Jack says. One of Jack's big goals is to not have to take out student loans to go to school. Quote, "It's why I work so much, so I can pay as I go," Jack says. "The scholarship will basically pay for my first semester. All the money I save will go into future semesters." End quote. Kaylee Mueller, another 2023 Council Scholarship recipient, began her junior year at UW-Green Bay last fall. She believes education is the key to future inclusion. Quote, "From disability rights to the history of the movement, there are lots of issues to bring to people who just don't know," Kaylee says. Kaylee started her semester by launching a new student organization, Ability Allies. The group provides resources and educational opportunities to students with and without disabilities. A psychology major with minors in sociology and anthropology and women's gender and sexuality studies, Kaylee has a packed schedule. She uses her own experiences, especially those related to independent mobility on campus, to inform her work in and out of the classroom. Kaylee says the council scholarship helps her in a variety of ways. Quote, "It's really helped pay for housing costs. I'm living in a private apartment that has accessibility, but one of the downsides of that accessibility is that it costs more." End quote. 2023 Council Scholarship Recipients: Saree Baim, Janesville, UW-Whitewater; Grace Kane, Lowell, UW-Whitewater; Lewa Diara, Madison, University of Minnesota; Zuluka Gondal, Jaquan Yeager, Madison, UW-Madison; Jack Lukosik, Appleton, Fox Valley Technical College; Kaylee Mueller, Campbellsport, UW-Green Bay; Luke Roble, Colgate, Waukesha County Technical College; George Tuttle, Drummond, Carroll University; Joseph Tuttle, Drummond, Purdue University. The council is grateful for the opportunity to help these scholars pursue their academic and career goals. Around the council, Sensory Garden adds a welcome touch to the council grounds. One of the bright spots for the council in 2023 had nothing to do with vision services or advocacy. It was an improvement to our physical space, the installation of a sensory garden on the grounds of our Madison offices, with plots on both the Livingston and Williamson Street sides of the building. Fragrant basil and columbine and waxy flowers of the Korean spice viburnum, along with many other plants, delighted council visitors and passers-by throughout the summer and early fall. What exactly is a sensory garden? Ruth Flesher of the Rock Prairie Master Gardener Association, whose members designed and installed the garden, says, quote, "The garden is intended to appeal to senses that we usually don't think about when we think of gardening. When planning the garden, we had to stop and think how every plant in here can be experienced in ways other than sight. What is there to hear or to feel?" End quote. After a planning process that began in the spring, volunteer gardeners began work in the early summer, taking soil samples to figure out which plants would be best suited for the garden. The gardeners then pulled up weeds and planted over 24 plant species, surrounding our building with plants that are not only beautiful to look at, but encourage people to stop and touch or smell the many plants. Ruth says, quote, "This was a group project from the get-go. Everybody had something to contribute. The council was so delightful to work with and so appreciative and patient with the challenges we came across." End quote. One of those challenges was the discovery of a nesting duck that had laid its eggs in a garden bed next to a crabapple tree on Livingston Street. Not wanting to mess with the mama duck, the gardeners had to put their planting plans on hold until the eggs hatched and the baby ducklings made their way to Lake Monona. By the fall, the new sensory garden was complete. The idea for the garden sprang from a desire to make our building more welcoming by creating gardens that are both visually appealing and that draw visitors in with their lovely aromas and textures. Fund Development Director Lori Werbeckis says, quote, "Someone's first visit here can be daunting, not knowing what to expect. The sensory garden is a welcoming site for people who visit the council," end quote. The garden not only encourages people to use other senses to enjoy the world around them, but shows that people with vision loss can still enjoy gardening. The sensory garden is not just for people coming to the council for services, but for the whole community. As the garden blooms in the spring and summer, the entire neighborhood is encouraged to experience it for themselves. Council Executive Director Denise Jess says, quote, "There are so many assumptions about people who are blind. If the outside of our building, the part of our organization that's facing the community, is open and welcoming, it can help break down those biases and fears," end quote. The sensory garden was made possible thanks to grant funding from the Marquette Neighborhood Association and the Willie Street Co-op's Community Reinvestment Fund. That funding covered the cost of plants, flower pots, soil, and mulch. Another addition put in place in 2024 is signs placed in the garden containing a QR code that leads visitors to pages on the council's website describing the different plants that can be found around our building. Those signs were funded through a grant provided by AARP Wisconsin. The council is grateful to all the funders who helped make the sensory garden a reality, as well as to the Rock Prairie Master Gardener Association, particularly the gardening team of Ruth Flesher, Mary Kay Thompson, Sue Wood, and Deb Grahams. You can learn more about our sensory garden on our website at https://wcblind/garden. Quote, "The garden not only encourages people to use other senses to enjoy the world around them, but shows that people with vision loss can still enjoy gardening," end quote. Executive Director Denise Jess recognized with Civil Rights Award. In September, Community Shares of Wisconsin, CSW, honored Council Executive Director Denise Jess for her years of work promoting the rights and dignity of people living with vision loss. The Linda Sundberg Civil Rights Defender Award is given each year to an individual whose passion for civil rights has improved the lives of others. In her acceptance remarks at the awards banquet, Denise focused on the inequitable impact vision loss has on different segments of the population and the reasons behind those disparities. For example, African Americans are 3 times as likely to experience vision loss as people who are white, and women are more likely than men to lose their vision. It's clear that some groups face greater barriers to healthcare access and information than others. They may also be less likely to know about the vision rehabilitation services that can improve their lives, or may be hesitant to reach out. That's why it's critical for the council to be thoughtful and strategic in our outreach efforts to build connections and trust among diverse communities. Denise says, quote, "It's so easy for people with disabilities to be invisible in our society. It's not my blindness that makes my world small. It's the attitudes and barriers around me that make my world small. Being remembered, being included, having my voice honored, that's what expands the worlds of people with disabilities," end quote. In an environment where advocating for the elimination of systemic barriers requires persistence, patience, and an unwavering commitment to equity, Denise has consistently demonstrated the ability to connect with people across Wisconsin to influence decisions that affect the lives of state residents living with vision loss. The council staff and board of directors were thrilled to see Denise recognized for her tireless efforts on behalf of Wisconsinites who are blind and visually impaired, and couldn't agree more with CSW's selection. Photo. Denise making her acceptance speech at the 2023 Community Changemaker Awards event. 2023 by the numbers. Donors. 1,389 gifts received from donors living in 56 Wisconsin counties and 21 states. 172 new donors. Vision services. 166 vision rehabilitation visits. 280 access technology appointments. 146 low vision evaluation visits. 155 phone consultations. 166 orientation and mobility visits. Education. 63 presentations reaching 2,700 participants. Topics included transportation, web and social media accessibility, accessible voting, and vision changes related to aging. Scholarships. 10 $2,000 scholarships awarded to students across Wisconsin. Volunteers. 735 hours donated. White canes. 515 canes provided to clients in 46 counties. 35 communities and the state of Wisconsin issued White Cane Safety Day proclamations. Sharper Vision Store. 1,681 customers from 64 counties. Financials. 2023 revenue. Contributions. $429,276. Bequests. $5,512. Store sales. Net. $196,566. Vision services. $14,180. Rent. $14,400. Investments. $1,022,018. Miscellaneous. $24,076. Total revenue. $1,706,028. 2023 expenses. Low vision services. $697,049. Community education. $372,837. Fund development. $146,349. Management and general. $319,000. Total expenses. $1,535,235. Donors. Thank you to our generous donors. Find a complete list on our website at wcblind.org/donate/donors. Friends of the Council gave $500 or more throughout the year. Carol Adams, Ryan Ames, Anonymous, Linda Anderson, Mike and Susan Archer, Priscilla and Anthony Bedell, Berlin Lions Club, Carl and Judy Breakbush, Mike and Bonnie Callen, David Cooley, Joanna Del Forge, Delta Gamma Fraternity, Mary Gill, Nona Graves and Dennis Amadin, Greenville Lioness Lion Club, Lee Hansen, Loretta Himmelsbach, Anonymous, Kay Hutchison, Denise Jess and Janie Kester, Chip and Christy Kaufman, Johanna and Darwin Kaufman, Peter Kaufman, Frank and Mary Jo Kilpatrick, Robert Cavilla, Joan Klebs, Marlon and Joanne Klongland, Candace Kane, Lacrosse Lions Club, John and Terry Ladwig, Mary Lawless, Martin Levy, Lomira Lions Club, Constance Malik, Sharifa Merchant, Gail Morton, David Mueller, Sandra Audenhoven, Anonymous, Timothy Radelet, Gerald Ring, James Roberts, Jeffrey and Christine Rushton, Sandra Child, Tracy Shainrock, Patricia Schrader, Catherine and Sean Slaughter, Brooke Solvay, Karen Steffen, Marvin Strelo, Sun Prairie Lions Foundation, Catherine and George Tessar, Lori and Mark Werbeckis, White Cane Day Celebration. Margaret Williams. Williams Bay Lions Club. Jeffrey Williamson. Barbara Winter. Judy Woltersohn. Mary and Conrad Rosinski. Terry Young, M.D. John and Rosalind Zeltins. White Cane Circle members make monthly gifts. Martha Abrams. Nuruddin Amusa. Mike and Susan Archer. Stephen and Susan Bodo. Claire Box. Henrietta de la Garza. Claire Dick. James Evans. James and Karen Fletcher. Susan Gentry. Sean Gifford. Brent Goodman. Rosemary Goodrich. Nona Graves and Dennis Amadon. Maria and Jan Heidi. Denise Jess. Scott and Brenda Johnson. Rajneesh Arvinder and Avanish Kapoor. Candace Kane. Constance Malik. Carmela Mofta. Ava Perenica. Francis Power. Chris Richmond. James Roberts. Patricia Schrader. Patty Slaby. Margaret Summers. Rhonda Stotts. Karen Steffen. Nat Tarnoff. Victor Thon. James Tormey. Eunice Wagner. Laurie and Mark Rebeckis. Donald Whitman. John and Rosalind Zeltins. These individuals have been supporting the Council for 10 or more consecutive years. Carol Adams. Nuruddin Amusa. Virgine Anderson. Carol Anderson. Robert and Carol Arndt. Richard Ayers. Alice and Eric Benier. James Bardenwerper. Steve and Susan Bodo. Sherry Becker. Bruce Bender. Steve Benton. Amy Bigna. Frederick and Karen Betcher. Charles and Luann Boy. Nanette Boinsky. Carl and Judy Breakbush. Stuart Brown. William and Denise Bensley. Kathleen Burr. Bonita Campbell. Ruth Chalmers. Richard and Tracy Clark. Sue and Don Cowan. David and Susan Kress. Wallace Cutler. Mary Daniel. Claire Dick. Wally and Peggy Dauma. Ruth Downs. Shelley and Peter Eich. Phyllis Ermer. James Ferwerda. Joyce File. Cheryl Fine. Robert and Susan Fleming. James Fowler. Elmer Frank. Linda Freilich. Connie Gabrilska. Francis Gasper. Sean Gifford. Nona Graves and Dennis Amadon. Jeffrey Gurrell. Mary Jean Hale. Susan Hansen. Linda and Garth Harris. Anonymous. Dean and Barbara Heckel. Loretta Himmelsbach and Marcy Warzala. Magdalene Hurst. James and Lucille Horning. Tom and Janine Houdeveld. Marilyn and Neil Howell. John Hughes. Michael Jarmanzik. Jean Kelscher. Gary Carl. Joan Klebs. Anonymous. Candace Kane. Warren and Janet Konopacki. Peter and Mary Kopp. Richard Krensky. Jack and Linda Kuschel. John and Terry Ladwig. Alan and Jean Lamers. Anonymous. Martin Levy. Stuart McCauley. Ken and Kay Mauch. Alita McCardle. Dorothy Merton. Dan Meyer. William Michaels. Nyla Muser. Patricia Nelson. Barbara Nilsson. Jay and Linda Olson. Randall and Ann Orlikowski. Phyllis Orsburn. Monica Paffenroth. Dan and Judy Peterson. Anna Mae Petrucia. Ron and Judy Phillips. Lee Pondrum. Sarah Potts. Anne Putnam Smith. Christopher Rapp. Chris Richmond. Gerald Ring. Dolores Robillard. Mary and Bob Roneberg. Gladys Schaefer. Anthony Shearer. Tracy Shainrock. Kathleen Schuster. Charles Schwarting. Ray and Kathy Smertz. Michael Smith. Anthony Smorinsky. Margaret Summers. Kathy Southard. Rhonda Stotts. Maurice and Lois Steckline. Karen Steffen. John and Becky Stellmacher. Michael Sturr, Kim Stein, Judith Stolper and Eugene Haug, Audrey Studrawa, Emma Thyme, Douglas Thorpe, Gary Utterberg, Carol and Richard Van Boxtel, Lee Vermilia, Eunice Wagner, James Walsh, Anita Waterbury, Lester Waters, Laurie and Mark Werbeckis, Donald Whitman, Elizabeth and Phyllis Willems, Margaret Williams, Pamela Wilson, Gary and Sandra Yakes, Joseph and Edna Zadra, John and Rosalind Zeltins, Lon and Linda Zeem. Staff: Jackson Baker, Mitch Bray, Heather Buggs, Kathleen Callen, Jim Denham, Bob Jacobson, Denise Jess, Brent Prezentka, Debbie Rasmussen, Judith Rasmussen, Greg Schmidt, Nate Wegehout, Lori Werbeckis, Amy Werf. Photos: photos of staff members. Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, 754 Williamson Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53716, 800-783-5213, info@wcblind.org, wcblind.org. The Council is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that relies on donations to fund our operations. Visit wcblind.org/donate. This has been Council Volunteer Barbara Simon reading the 2023 Annual Report.